to keep the area of the TIF zone, try to help us keep it up to in good repair and...
Okay, I have another question.
And I don't know that in the past that they'd even done that. This was the first year that the RDC has, that they've been asked to, hey, we need you to chip in and start helping with the road repairs and stuff in the... So, and this year they committed. Can we have a roll call?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
And Mr. Chatton?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Morris?
Here.
Ms. Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Not here.
Mr. Mayor?
Here. No, I haven't heard from him. Okay, next is adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt the agenda.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to adopt the agenda as presented.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
The agenda is adopted by a vote of 6-0. Next is approval of minutes from the September 8th meeting.
Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Brown, to approve the minutes as presented.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose? Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Who is the second, sir? Second. Thank you.
And those minutes are approved by a vote of 6-0. Next is petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mayor, I'd like to invite the council and the public as well to participate in this year's United Way Day of Caring. It's going to be Friday, October 3rd. I'm going to have volunteer work sites throughout the community and food collection sites. Those food collection sites will also be that Thursday evening before that. So if you would like to help out, just contact the United Way, and I'm sure they'd be glad to put you to work.
What else? Thing I have is we did receive the Community Achievement Award through IACT. President Chatton, myself, and Cheryl, and Steve all went and received this in Fort Wayne last week, so we're pretty excited about that.
It was, and I will say this, that after the award was presented, there were a number of workshops and sessions, and when people would see that Vincent's name tag, they would go out of their way to come up and offer congratulations. And what was neat about that is several of them said, well, didn't Ben Sins just win this a few years before that for the Riverfront Pavilion, and which is true. So it does get noticed out there among municipal leaders throughout the state, so that's a good thing.
Anyone else? If not, we'll move on to committee chair reports.
Mr. Mayor, I attended Solid Waste meeting this morning. I have copies of the agenda, the minutes, and all the reports. If anybody wants to take a look at these, they're available right up here.
During budget hearings, we talked about kind of thinking outside the box. I know one of the things that we discussed, too, when we discussed taxing and things like that, one of my big advocacy points was trying to think of other ways to do that. So I kind of put a list of things together, of things that we could look at. And I just wanted to pass that out to the council to see what they would think. You can take that, look at it. We can kind of correspond with each other and see what they are. It's kind of seven brief ideas of things I think we can look at to kind of shore up some of the shortfalls that we're going to be seeing. And just kind of give a brief synopsis of it. One, I think we should look into privatizing departments. One of the things that we kind of looked at, obviously, would be the sanitation issue and trash. I think this issue is going to be different this time than our last go around. Specifically, the big issue with that one was giving everybody, you know, making everybody pay. This time, you know, Republic's already in the city; they're doing the billing, so that issue's out of there. A thing I think we could look at is privatizing services within departments. And I gave an example like lawn care for our city parks. Would it be cheaper for us to have to pay somebody to do our lawn care, or for us to continue to do lawn care, the equipment, the gas, the manpower there? I know that there were some issues and some thoughts with the sponsorship. There could be kind of a pay-for-play kind of scenario, and you know, you kind of looked at it the way that it was the last time I brought it up, and I could see where that could be a scenario. So I put some thought into that, and I think it would be best, instead of putting departments that you would support, just a support for the city, and I think we would need to go to more of an internet-based thing, or from the mayor, clerk, treasurer's office, where that would be paid. We could promote it, the departments could promote it, but then the money would go there, so we are not having department chiefs handle the money. We don't have us handling the money, so that's kind of an area we could look there. We could probably have Tower Bridge come in and talk about if that's something that could be done with our website. I said another thing, combine, sell city-owned buildings. We do have some excess buildings. Cheryl's helping me put a list together of things so we can look at there. How do we maximize the properties that we have? That kind of goes hand-in-hand with the next one, getting rid of excess property that we would have. If we're not using it, why are we going to keep it? The concept behind there is possibly maybe we could reinvest that could be developed and maybe get put back on the tax roll. Number six, this might sound kind of a wild idea, but surprisingly I saw a lot of cities and counties actually use eBay to auction off old equipment, and there's apparently, you know, actually a market for that. So old equipment, excess equipment, that's just kind of sitting around in some of the departments, that's some way something we could do there. And number seven, I put improve our relationship with Good Sam and VU. One of the key things that we need to remember, if we succeed, VU and Good Sam will succeed. If we struggle, they're going to have struggles as well. And one of the things that we as a city, Good Sam as a hospital, VU as a school, we look at ways that we can improve each other in certain situations where, hey, this will benefit them. What they do will benefit us. And kind of open a dialogue with those. So those are kind of seven different ideas that I think we can kind of look at. We can kind of discuss amongst each other. But you know, I did kind of ask, and I said that I'd kind of put my neck out there to come up with some different ideas. So here's seven that we can kind of look at. Hey, some of them might be terrible; they might not be anything that we can go with. But I think it's something that we can discuss and we can kind of play around with and see where we can go from there. So, with that, I am finished.
Thank you. Any other mini chair reports? And then we'll move on to report of city officers. We'll move to old business. Under old business, of ordinance 33-2014, $3,228.86 from Edit Fund and $59,616.84 from Riverboat Fund. Your first reading was September the 8th.
Mayor, I move we have a second reading of ordinance 33-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, seconded by Councilwoman Rose, to have second reading of ordinance 33-2014.
Ordinance 33-2014, additional appropriation ordinance omitting formal parts containing sections 1 and 2, $59,615.84.
Any discussion?
Again, the 32-2886 is engineering fees on the second NIBLAC, and then the 23-523 twice, and the other funds on there.
Riverboat
is for fleet.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 33-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a third reading of ordinance 33-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have third and final reading of ordinance 33-2014.
Ordinance 33-2014, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1 and 2, $59,616.84.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
The record will show about the public hearing too, so
Oh, that's correct. That is correct, yes.
Okay. Third and final reading of ordinance 33-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0. We'll move on to new business. First up is ordinance 34-2014, Mayor's 2015 Salary Ordinance.
I move we have a first reading of ordinance 34-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 34-2014.
Ordinance 34-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes setting the maximum annual compensation amounts beginning January 1, 2015, continuing thereafter until duly changed. The amounts can go down, but they can't.
Okay, any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 34-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is ordinance 35-2014, Elected Officials 2015 Salary Ordinance.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have first reading of ordinance 35-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilwoman Rose, to have first reading of ordinance 35-2014.
Ordinance 35-2014, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes setting the maximum annual compensation for elected mayor council.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 35-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is ordinance 36-2014, appropriation and tax rate for 2015.
Mr. Mayor, I move we have a first reading of ordinance 36-2014.
Second.
Motion by President Chatton, second by Councilman Clark, to have first reading of ordinance 36-2014.
Ordinance 36-2014, Vincennes Common Council adopting the tax rate for the upcoming year.
Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, let the record show that a public hearing was held at 5:45 p.m. on this ordinance and ordinance 33-2014, and no one spoke for or against.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 36-2014 passes by a vote of 6-0. Next is Judy Tolman, Client Manager, and Jeff Whitaker, Engineer and Project Manager for the Lockmuir Group, presenting 2nd Street, 2nd Niblack Streets, and the Main Street Project.
I'm Judy Tolman with the Lockmuir Group, and this is Jeff Whitaker, who's an engineer for the Lockmuir Group. We were asked to come and give you an update on the 2nd Street Project, which is Main to Hart Street, that is the in the exchange program within NDOT. So we're using state dollars instead of federal dollars to do this project. We applied for federal dollars and then we exchanged those for state dollars to move the process more quickly. The second thing we're here to do is to give you an update on the 2nd and Niblack project, which is a federal aid project. And Jeff will give you a run through all the timelines with you on all of those projects. The third thing we're here to do is to give you the presentation on the possible Main Street project, which would run from 22nd Street to Bower Drive. And I'm going to let Jeff do most of the talking due to some issues that I'm having. So I don't want to start hacking and coughing up here. So I'm going to let Jeff do most of the talking. If you have questions, we'll entertain questions.
Hard to believe that she's going to let me do the most talking around here. Anybody knows Judy. The first thing on the agenda here, it looks like a 2nd Street project. Like Judy said, that was a buyback program. One of the first ideas that it came back, we're one of the first communities to do, or you guys are one of the first communities to do this. I think there's three other communities that are doing this. And it looks like we'll be the first to actually let our project. Second Street project, final plans and cost estimate will be done by the end of this week. All right. Right away, the city and the city engineer's office has been obtaining the right away. There were several temporary and some permanent right away. I believe there's one parcel of right away one permanent, one left. So that they've been only working on this a month, and that is very good. Usually, if you go through the federal process, it usually takes about a year. We've been able to do this in about a two-month period. So, you know, kudos to our guys for getting the instruments prepared, and then for the city to go out and obtain those easements. Rule 5, we've submitted a Rule 5 plan. We've already got that back, so we're ready to go on that. Environmental document. We still had to do a state environmental document, which is still a lot involved. That was completed about, I would say, about 3 weeks ago, and it's been submitted. So we should have a review back from NDOT anytime soon now. So the next thing is utility coordination. We've been coordinating with the utilities. We've already got two relocation plans back. There's three others still out there that we're working on. AT&T is kind of on the backside of all the other utilities, but they're catching up. So we've been working with the utilities, and we've really had pretty good response with the utilities, and I'm very pleased with that. Let's talk about schedule. We're going to submit Stage 3 plans, which is pretty well final plans, to NDOT. NDOT still wants to review the plans and the bid documents and make sure that we got the right-of-way and we've got our permits and environmental document. We'll submit that package here in the middle of October is what we're shooting for. And then once they review it, get it back, we're looking at the city will then bid that process out locally, and about the middle of November is what we're shooting for. Is there any questions on the Second Street project? Well, shooting for is that we're looking at letting that in November. And so the one thing that can hold us back right now, the only thing I can see is holding us back, would be if we do not get all the utilities relocation plans back. NDOT there again might still go ahead and let us bid that out, knowing that we are in contact with them and doing this. But that's what we're looking at, is for the project to be let in November, and then the contractor probably will then start. He might start working on some of the storm sewer, you know, during the winter months. But then come this, you know, next spring, that's when they'll hit it hard and heavy. And we're looking at a next October completion date is what we're looking for.
As far as what you're going to see on the ground is the pavement of all of the surface of roadway, sidewalks on both sides.
Bike on one side, parking on the other.
Bike on one side, parking. So that's what you're getting. Fighting.
October of next year is what we're going to put a completion date in. It's a six block section down through there, and they got to rip all the pavement up and everything. And there's a couple basements that they're going to have to fill in because they extend out underneath the sidewalk, and there's some coal chutes. So it's a very complicated project, really, in a six block section.
I mean, I just think it's great news that we're going to see this project come to an end finally. I mean, it's here, you know, after kind of waiting and kind of seeing and kind of guessing. Now that switching this project over to a state project really kind of put us on the fast track. So this is great news. This is good.
Yep.
Which is great. And I'm sure some of the people that have been here longer that have been watching this is going to be really glad to see this go.
Okay, Second NIBLAC. We had a preliminary field check back in March. So I got preliminary plans done, and so the environmental documents going along. Unfortunately, it's a long process for the environmental document because there was a couple pieces of property that were historic. So they have to go through all these different hoops with Schiphol to, you know, make sure that there's no adverse effect. So that document was actually completed about the same time Second Street, and so it's been in for their review about the same time. So it's been about 3 weeks now as well. And like I said, we should hear back on that anytime soon too. Since the preliminary field check, I've been working with NDOT to try to set up a meeting with the railroad company. And I'll just go over the project real quick. You know, the project's there at Second and Niblack, and we're basically going to raise that intersection. Part of raising that intersection, we're going to raise that levee wall. And when we raise the levee wall and we raise the intersection, we're going to raise the bridge up. So it's a very complicated project where we're, and the railroad track's right there, so we're going to redo one of the crossings right there. So we've got the levee, the railroad, and you know, some historic things we got to work around. So like I said, we've been trying to get a meeting with the railroad. We've been kind of coordinating back and forth, but now we need a meeting with the railroad to determine how this project needs to be constructed with their involvement. So I've been trying to get that for the past 4 months, I guess. So I'm still hoping that we will have something here in the next couple of months with them. So that is a big delay right now, is trying to get that with the meeting with the railroad set up. We've got the right-of-way engineering done. We'll be ready to do services, which means we'll be ready to go out and acquire the temporary and permanent right-of-way after the environmental document is complete. Like I said, I think we should get that approval on that in the next couple of weeks.
Do you think there'll be any problems with the railroad? Because they won't want, their trains won't have to stop when they go through there, will they?
Yeah, that's the big thing. They will actually be replacing their own crossing as part of the project. Mm-hmm. It won't be in our plans. We will coordinate with them, and they will actually take out the road crossing and put a new crossing in. As part of that levee seal goes right underneath there, and that needs to be raised up right at the same location. And there's a new storm sewer pipe that needs to be replaced right there all at the same location. So that's why we really need to coordinate with the railroad and figure out how they want to construct this. And there again, that bridge is right beside the railroad. So once we have that meeting, then we'll have to have meetings with the utilities, because there's a lot of utilities that have to be relocated.
Just as a side note, I serve on this Association of Cities and Towns Transportation Committee, and we have conference calls just about every month talking about problems throughout the state, and railroads have been mentioned many times. At the last meeting, it seemed like several communities were having projects held up by CSX specifically, but there are a couple other railroad companies as well. And I suggested that IAC make a priority of working with the Department of Transportation to designate someone in that department to go to bat for local communities with CSX. In other words, a liaison, so that each community having a problem with CSX, as an example, would not have to fight its own battle. They could go to someone in the state, maybe has a little more clout perhaps, and get some attention, because that has been a frustration among several mayors. So,
and I might say that the letting for this project is August or September, I can't remember, August or September of next year.
This is
it's a federal project. That's why the process takes so long, yes.
Right. This was earmarked money, railroad earmarked money, is what this.
But once it begins, it's how long a process is it? Once
well, they so they'll let it in August or September, and then the contractor probably won't do. They'll have to close down the intersection there, and they'll probably start working on the bridge probably during the winter months. But so that's. Well, next year is 2015, so probably I would say August or September of 2016. So about 1 year of construction is what we're looking at.
That intersection?
I would say so, yes.
But CSX will still, they'll still be going on?
Yes, yes. Is there any questions, any more questions about that project? Okay, if not, I'll go on to Main Street project. I was requested to come here and talk about Main Street today as a alternate project for the fall for 2019, coming up for NDOT, right? November. So all the communities are looking at projects that they've got on the books and they want to submit for the year 2019. And like I said, that call is coming up in November. So that's one of the reasons they wanted me to come here today and kind of talk a little bit about it today. Everybody should have a little packet with an aerial on the front. This Main Street project basically goes from 22nd Street down to Bauer Lane, which is right there at the high school and middle school. The streets that are crossed, of course, will be Veterans, and then you got Oliphant Ditch, and then we'll go, you know, it goes under 41, and then you got Rimsley Road, and you got Felt King Road, and then you got the entrance to the middle school and high school, and then Bauer Lane. The project length itself is about 1.5 miles. We're looking at two different cross sections basically for this whole length of project. The first typical, there's a, if you turn to the next page, it kind of gives you a description of what the typical sections will look like. The first typical basically runs from, and I might say at 22nd Street, that's where kind of the city typical is right now. There, you know, the width is about 40 feet and there's curb, gutter, and sidewalks right there. Then once you get south of there, there's just two lanes of 22-foot pavement. It's more of a county road, basically. So this first typical that we're looking at is a three-lane section. So it'd be two travel lanes and then a center left-turn lane. Then we're looking at bike lanes on both sides, curb and gutter, and then sidewalks. As a part of this project, we'll be, of course, putting in curb inlets and storm sewers. And I do know that there is a drainage problem out in that area, so this project should, you know, fix that problem. Also, there's a sanitary line running down through there. Part of it's gravity and part of it's a force main. And right now, I believe it's right at capacity. And I know we are going to probably hit this line when we come down through there with the new storm sewer. So we put numbers in the budget to go ahead and replace that sanitary sewer as well. The other section will be from Felt King Road to Bauer Drive. Here we're going to change the section a little bit, have just two travel lanes, drop off that center turn lane, and then we're going to have bike lanes on both sides. And then down through this area, we're only going to have sidewalk on the east side, or I guess the school side down through there. So we're kind of reducing the sidewalk down through there a little bit. And there again, storm sewer and sanitary sewer in that area. The two things that have come up is, of course, we'll need to upgrade the bridge at Oliphant Ditch. Right now it's a box beam structure, I believe, and so they'll widen the bridge out and then just rehab the deck. They won't have to completely replace the bridge or anything. We'll just use the existing bridge, widen it out, and then replace the deck. And then as you come underneath 41 there, it gets kind of narrow, but we've looked at that section, and so we can have three lanes going underneath there. And then there's pillars or indents right up against the road, or pretty close to the road, and then we'd actually have the sidewalk behind those coming down through there. And we've been in contact with NDOT, and they were real receptive of that ideal. So the other thing that I guess is a bad feature about this area out here is Felt King Road. You know, you got Main Street that runs kind of north and south, and you got Felt King Road, and that thing comes in at such a bad angle. A couple things that we've kind of looked at was, of course, you want to pull that angle down, get more of a 90. So the road itself will have to be kind of realigned to do that. We've looked at maybe, you know, leaving it as a two-way stop. We've looked at maybe doing a four-way stop there. And we've also looked at maybe placing a roundabout there. And, of course, with a roundabout, there's going to be more construction materials and more stuff out there. Plus, there's going to be more right-of-way required. So when we put all these cost estimates together, we looked at the roundabout option just because we want to make sure there's enough money you know, set aside for this project, so if something was, so if the roundabout was able to fit in that location, that we wouldn't have to go back to the state and ask for more money. Is there any question about the design or concept of the project itself? Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. When we design roundabouts, we can design roundabouts anywhere from a car to an 18-wheeler. So, yes. In this case, I would say that when we design the roundabout, we'll desire it for school buses and fire trucks. Those are the main ones that will be using that.
Is it, you talked about the storm drainage and
yes.
sanitary drainage. In that area of the city, there are some drainage issues. That land along Main Street, for instance, has, I think, been for sale forever, but I don't think anybody fights because of the drainage problems there. I'm talking about across from Kmart.
Across from Kmart?
Across from Kmart. Would this project have what impact would it have on the likelihood that ground would be developed?
I have worked with Shane State, and they know that they have a box. It's actually above the elevation. Stated that if during the process of reaching Main Street, State would at their own expense that. Do feel that the storm sewer and the development on the Kmart property will definitely have a significant impact as far as the water on that property.
And I assume that would be true of the other side of the road as well.
Yes.
What's the box beam you talk about? I'm not familiar
box
with that
culvert,
term.
Basically.
Box culvert,
a big pipe that goes underneath there. It's just a square pipe that goes underneath there.
And it's too high?
It's too high is what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And so they will actually as part of this project, the NDOT will go ahead and put a new pipe in lower than the existing one. That way, that area should drain. I think what the problem is that it doesn't drain very well. It gets to a certain elevation. Right.
And it is an NDOT problem.
Yes, it is an NDOT problem.
It's an NDOT problem.
Yes, and they're aware of it, and they're willing, you know, when this, they're willing to, you know, fix that problem as part of this project, 100% of their money.
Is there anything in where, well, this drainage then goes to Oliphant Ditch?
Yeah, yes.
And, with the likelihood of more development in that area, does this plan have any impact either way on capacity issues in that ditch?
That's something that we will look at when we actually get down to the design part, or when the design of it is done.
I would think, having served on the Area Plan Commission, that development that would take place in that area, the developer would have to also
right.
contribute to a solution, retention basins, et cetera, yes. to try to alleviate that as well. But
well, if you came our property right now, all asphalt built. So you've got all of that run, right? Thing happens on that property is probably going to be a plus a like that on there. I just asked.
Right. It probably should be mentioned that the Kmart property has been acquired, and you are going to see development out there, something different with that area. That's that makes it all that more important to look at the Main Street project to. Maybe handle additional traffic that's going to be created by that. It's even a possibility that you'll actually see a Kimmel Road extend through that property out to Main Street. So that all plays into why this has been looked at.
And what we've brought to you tonight is not to ask for a vote. What we've brought to you tonight is just for your information, for you to be able to look at it, digest it all. And the RDC, we presented it on the 18th to the RDC. Right. They have exactly what you have. We passed this, Jeff passed this out and gave the same presentation there and asked for their consideration. We will come back, or I will come back. I won't have Jeff come back, but I will come back in 2 weeks to actually ask for your support. And what you will be doing if you give your support, you are not pledging any of your dollars as a council. You're giving your support for the project, and you're approving the mayor to apply to NDOT for the 2019 call. And that's what you'd be doing as the council. Obviously, you know, one of the things that the mayor wants, the RDC wants, is for this to be a community project that that everybody is supportive of it. And so that's the whole purpose of this. When you put in a call, when you go for a call for project and you put in an application, they look to see, do you have support? That's one of the criteria they look for. If the RDC is to approve it at their next meeting, you know, they're wanting your support. And then obviously if you give that, then we'll be looking for someone to give a letter of support, not financial support, just a letter of support supporting this project. And I did speak with Mr. Parsley, and he did say that he is very much in favor of this project, as he was in the past, and that it was perfectly fine for me to tell the council or anyone else that I talked to that he was extremely excited about the possibility of this coming back up. If you have questions, Jeff will give you his card, and feel free to email either he or myself. If you look at this stuff and you go, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Feel free to email us. We'll respond back to you. We'll be glad to do that. I did exchange emails with Mr. Sebring, and he said due to his work schedule he couldn't be here tonight, but he did ask to meet with me, and I did agree to try and meet with him sometime this week to get him up to speed on this project.
Okay, so then you'll be back at the next meeting
in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
or a vote for a support.
After you guys have a chance to look at it.
But just another question, that the because you have a cost breakdown on the back with the redevelopment commission's part being just under $2 million. You might understand this is something that RDC within its budget can do on a basically a cash flow basis, not bonding or anything of that.
They will not
nature.
Be doing any bonding. It would be a cash flow basis. And at the RDC meeting, it was said that they do have the capacity to do this, because the majority of this funding, as you see on the breakdown sheet, actually doesn't happen until we have July of 2018. So the majority of the money doesn't have to be done until you get into the construction phase. And I can explain, if you want me to, I can explain how this process works step by step, from if you decide to apply, how it works,
please,
and the time
do.
Frames.
Please
would
do.
That be helpful to
yes,
you guys?
Yes.
If the call comes in November, and that's what I've been told that it's going to be, is in November of this year, you've got 30 days to put in your application. And that application has to be submitted by the employee of responsible charge within the government entity, which I assume is JP. Oh, yeah. JP would be your employee of responsible charge. He'd actually submit the application. With the application, you tell all about your project. You have maps like this. You have costs, breakdowns. You have any letters of support. It is required by NDOT now that whoever is going to be the financial end of the project, that they have to have a letter in there too. So the RDC would have to have a letter if they are the financial partner. They would have to have a letter stating that they would do that. Once that goes in, you have about usually 30 to 45 days that NDOT takes these projects. You actually will go into an interview process, and it's held usually out at the district. And in that interview process, every community within Vincent's district area, which is about 8 counties, I think, they all come at different times and they give their presentation on their project. And basically what you're doing is you're trying to sell your project to NDOT. Then the Vincennes District scores your project, then it goes to Indianapolis, and a group up there scores all of the projects within the state all together. And then once that scoring has been done, they actually have one day that they announce who has been awarded these funds. So these funds, you're probably December, January, before you would, the end of January probably, before you'd ever know if you were awarded funds, if you started in November. Then once, we're gonna be optimistic and say Vincent's was awarded funds, if you receive those funds in January, you have to go through a lengthy process of putting out for a disadvantaged business goal, and that you send that to the state. They send back a percentage and say a percentage of this project has to go to a disadvantaged business. Then you go through what is called a request for proposal, and that gets put on and uploaded into NDOT, and you have to go through a selection process for your firm, okay? You have that has to post for 30 days, and that goes out. So you've got 30 days before you ever get all of your proposals in. Then you have to score that proposal, and that's done by the city. And the city has to score those proposals and determine who they're going to utilize as their engineer. And then once that's done, then you have to start negotiations with the city on a contract. And once the city gets finished with negotiations, then it has to go to NDOT, and NDOT has to approve the negotiated contract. So as you can see, it's not a timely thing that happens. So you're probably not looking to start any kind of notice to proceed from NDOT till probably the earliest would be May of next year, before you'd receive a notice to proceed, which you in turn would turn around and give a notice to proceed to your engineer. So that would be probably when you'd start the actual process.
So far, I like everything. I mean, I understand the concept of this is going to benefit that business right there and the investment that's there, the improvement, obviously, of the school. If you've ever been out there in the morning, it gets a little chaotic out there. Right, Mr. Clark? The only concern that I have, and I have discussed this with you before, is as we see kind of the budget shortfalls, what if we get to a scenario where we have to go to the RDC and kind of, you know, I guess, reorganize some things and say, hey, we're going to need help because things have gotten so bad. I guess this would be something that we'd need to discuss, just have an open conversation with the RDC if that would be, you know, possible, so we were more comfortable where you guys stand and we kind of have a, you know, a better understanding and concept of where their funding is and how they view that, because that would, I'm sure, could help us out if you guys were in agreement to that. But other than that, I mean, that's the only concern that I have.
So this is a 80-20 or 90-10?
It's an 80-20.
Okay, it's 80-20.
Mm-hmm.
And the July 2015, the 205-8, January 2017 to 336, and then July 2018 $1,416,600. Is that just engineering, or is that engineering and construction?
That's
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. The July 2015, January 2017 will be engineering, and right-of-way, that portion, basically. And when you get into July 18th, you're looking at construction.
Okay, so the $1.4 million is the actual construction.
The construction, yeah.
Okay, so this is basically 20%. The $1.9 million is a 20% cost to the RDC for the total project.
Correct.
Okay.
And I will tell you that we do have a considerable amount of funds put in here for right-of-way acquisition on this project, simply because we don't know at this point, because all we have done is looked at this, walked down the street and drove down the street and done some measurements, but we've not done any survey. We don't know what's going to happen at Felt King in that intersection. So not knowing that, we wanted to put additional funds in here for right-of-way because we know we're going to need some. We just don't know exactly what the final decision is going to be from the city and working with the engineer and working with JP, what the final decision would be in that intersection. But we didn't want to leave you short, because years ago you could go to NDOT if you didn't have enough money and ask for additional funds. That's not the case now. They have really tightened it down, and NDOT, pretty much what you ask for is what you're going to get. And so we wanted to be sure that we had enough funds in here that if we get into a situation where we needed those funds, they're here. So it didn't cost 100% city.
The as the council weighs this, one thing that you mentioned, but I think it bears repeating, is that as part of a road project like this, you are allowed per the contract to replace storm and sanitary
wastewater, yes,
sewers, which right. I think at their capacity. Just bear in mind as we weigh the pros and cons that if we don't get this, we may have to go in and replace those anyway, but it won't be an 80-20 project. It'll be the ratepayers. So.
And one thing, we would work very closely with Kirk Bushy to determine what he does need to have done. Obviously, as a part of this project, it would be replacement in kind. NDOT does not allow you to replace bigger or improve, but they will pay for replacement in kind. If you want to improve something, that'd be at additional cost to make a larger, you know, line or whatever. So.
And all that's going to be looked at.
And that's all going to be looked at. We're not going to do this project without doing the right thing. Yeah. And we'll work very closely with the USB and with her.
Yeah.
It will come out. It'll either come out of RDC or utilities one. Yeah, it won't be.
No, nothing's come. We're not asking for any funds to come out of the council.
Yeah.
Right. No, there's curb and gutter on the side.
Both sides out to Ramsey Road.
Both sides out
both
to Felt King. And
to Felt King, and then from Felt King
to the end of the city state.
To Bower.
Yes.
Yes.
We do. Well, there's big box culvert kind of down, and then they're right there at the intersection, there's another pipe, and I think that pipe is too high too, because there's one pipe and then there's another pipe below it. So all that will be corrected. Yeah. Yeah. Everything out there would be corrected then.
Though you might need to come up to the mic. Come up to the mic so we can record this.
Double Hall, 1406 Minter. No, I was just wanting some clarification on it, on how it went. Right.
whole side here to here, one side from here to here. This sidewalk is one side here, two sides here. He had a school board meeting.
And the drainage problem that is included in your grant.
Yeah, he's got corn. Thanks, Doug. You can come up, just come up the mic and, yeah.
Hi, my name's Bev Thomas, and I'm coming as taxpayer. In fact, you guys have already answered. To ask. You're talking three lanes starting 22 feet wide. How wide will your three lane
30.
Plus 10 foot for sidewalks
bike
and
lanes.
A bike?
And then the sidewalk.
Okay, so we're now talking 43 feet. It's now 22 feet wide. That means you're going to want 20 or another, let's see, 53. It's going to have to be 53 feet wide, 20 down. So we are looking at 31 feet.
Approximately.
Yeah. You realize you're going to be... are you aware of that?
Wind down.
Are you?
If you wind down.
16 feet on both sides. That's what you're asking for. I know where 10 foot is because I thought, well, the street is already 20 wide. Surely wouldn't make that. And there's no way you can get three lanes in that overpass. And the problem was narrowing before. Now, I've already had questions, Andrew, with my Mr. Salter. We definitely have, we're going to need to shore up short. If RDC has this much money to put out there, and from what I gather, is this money earmarked and not for use?
That's the RDC money goes to.
It would be, but it would be earmarked. Is that correct? Okay.
Infrastructure.
Thank you. Okay. You've already answered the question, Mr. Salters, and I appreciate it because you're telling us right here and now, as citizens and taxpayers, that we have no rainy day. If we have shortfalls, if we earmark money there and we need money, where are we going to? What do we do then?
We do have.
Pardon?
We have rainy day funds.
Then how do we have shortfalls? Answer that,
well,
please.
I don't think you want to spend all your rainy day funds on.
Well, I understand that. And that's my
right.
That's a lot of my concern. We as individual citizens have to live within our means.
I agree.
And I don't know about the others in here, but I would love to see government live within there. And I don't think this is the project at this kind of money we can afford. And that is necessary. And I mean, also, is acquisition of land, tree removal, utility services, personal property restored for those that have underground cable and everything that you want to disrupt, et cetera, are those costs all in the projected price? Tree removals for all these big trees things down? Is this going to be in the cost, or where does that money?
Everything.
Okay, is that a projected cost or an actual cost? We just went through Duke Energy, and Duke Energy gave us a projected price of what it would cost, and they were nowhere close. So what happened to our rate? So, answer, you know the answer. Okay, are these costs as of today, and how can you project them out to 2019?
Projected.
How do you know what those costs will be?
3%.
In 5 years.
All right. Do we have the results on our levy as yet? As to where we stand?
They are waiting on, they know what projects probably have to be completed.
But we have no idea if we have funds for that. We get so many projects started. Y'all, I don't know how to put this. As individuals, half. But we can't fulfill because we have a court. And each time these things get, we get involved in this, the money we spent on on the railroad overpass, like, for what? Blah, blah, blah. Everything wasted. There would have been money to have so much money that we are giving RDC money. What is the possibility of perhaps we keep part of that money as a city and fix our that we have now
right.
that are in dire need?
And they are, the RDC is paying for streets now, $500,000, and they've committed another.
You're going to fix the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Hart Street.
Hart Street, they're going to do 6th Street, 5th Street.
We have more streets than Hart Street.
I agree.
And I like I said, I come here tonight, and I've heard so much here that I just don't understand. At 3 lanes of width, we don't need a super highway.
It won't.
I don't know if you, I live there. I know what Main Street is. I take a granddaughter to and from school on many occasions and pick her up. And to start with, there is no entrance to Clark or Lincoln from Main Street. There is no entrance. You have to go to Richard Bauer Drive to go into Clark Middle School. If you take Main Street to go to Lincoln High School, you then have to go to Richard Bauer Drive and come all the way around to come into Lincoln. So how is that safe? Now you got to pull out in front of the traffic going zoom, zoom, zoom to get to school. So what is the purpose of the Main Street? It just blows me away.
It's because the Kmart property is looking to be developed. We know that Main Street probably is not going to handle
looking
all the traffic.
Looking to be. Okay.
No, it's going to be developed.
Okay.
It's going to be developed. And it's looking to the future of what's going to be needed out there for traffic.
I'm looking to our future, too, that we're going to be broke. We already are. I don't understand. We have people in this town. I'm not one of them. I don't mind saying I'm going to be 70. But we have people in this town that try to survive on nothing but Social Security. And Social Security, only thing, there are months that the people, and I know this fact, and I think we all do, there are people in medicine and food. And we're going to put another burden on somebody. Without this project, you're saying, no, it won't. Yes, it will, because it hasn't. We wouldn't need to give the RDC so much. We would have that
We don't
money.
Give RDC money. The RDC collects this money through a TIF zone that was established.
So they don't get any of the taxpayers' funds.
They get tax dollars on improvements out in a certain area is what it is. It's not, they're not taking.
In essence, business taxes,
right.
New business
okay.
taxes,
right, is what's
are paid what? Into okay. the redevelopment
to help
commission.
Keep developing that area so that it can keep growing and hopefully develop more businesses and more tax base. And
well, like I said, I'm just truly
right.
concerned for those that
right. It, they're not.
And I'm not one having to live
right.
Pretty long, but I do have a sister, Evan, and there are times she down making choices all the time. It's really this thing better use our funds
right.
to maybe improve what we already have or fix
right.
what we have than to keep starting projects. It all maybe go kafoot and have a
right.
big
you know, and to do over nothing, right, and the money spent for nothing,
no
money, et cetera.
And I know what you're saying. And the RDC does try to invest back, just like the Hart Street paving and all the curb work you see that we have to do because of the paving. You saw last year that the Hart Street was crack sealed. That's to prevent further damage. Hopefully make that road last.